Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9. Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers, text 35. Sa'atma yone vidhi vishmita ashubha obhyam. Kalena tevra tapasa parishuddha bhavaha. Tvam anadisha bhuvigandam utati chukshmam. Bhutendriyasya shayamaye vitatam vidarsha. Sa he, Lord Brahma, to but Atmayoni, who is born without a mother, directly begotten by the Father, Lord Vishnu. Adi Vishmitaha, very much surprised, not finding the source of his birth. Ashritya, situated on. Abjam, the lotus. Kalena, in due course of time. Tivra tapasa, by severe austerities. Parishuddha, bhava, being completely purified. Tvam, you, Atmani, in his body and existence. Isha, O my Lord, Bhuvi, within the earth. Gandam, aroma, Iva, like. Ati shukshmam, very subtle. Bhuta indriya, composed of elements and senses. Ashaya maye, and that filled with desires, the mind. Vidatam, spread out. Didarsha, found. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Lord Brahma, who is celebrated as Atma Yoni, having been born without a mother, was struck with wonder. Thus he took shelter of the lotus flower. And when he had been purified after undergoing severe austerities for many hundreds of years, he could see that the cause of all causes, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was spread throughout his own body and senses, just as aroma, although very subtle, is perceived in the earth. Purport. Here the statement of self-realization, Aham Brahmasmi, which is interpreted by the Mayavada philosophy to mean, I am the Supreme Lord, is explained. Supreme Lord is the original seed of everything. Janma dyasya yataha aham sarvasya pravo matak saram pravartate. Thus the Supreme Lord extends everywhere, even throughout our bodies, because our bodies are made of material energy, which is the Lord's separated energy. One should realize that since the Supreme Lord spreads throughout one's body, and since the individual soul is a part of the Supreme Lord, everything is Brahman. Sarvam Kalva Vidam Brahma. This realization was achieved by Lord Brahma after he is purified, and it is possible for everyone. When one is completely in knowledge of Aham Brahmasmi, he thinks, I am part of the Supreme Lord. My body is made of his material energy. Therefore, I have no separate existence. Yet although the Supreme Lord is spread everywhere, he is different from me. This is the philosophy of Achinti Veda Veda Tattva. An example given in this regard is that of aroma within the earth. In the earth there are aromas and colors, but one cannot see them. Actually, we find that when flowers grow from the earth, They appear with different colors and aromas, which they have certainly gathered from the earth. Although in the earth we cannot see them. Similarly, the Supreme Lord, by his different energies, spreads throughout one's body and soul, although we cannot see him. An intelligent man, however, can see the Supreme Lord existing everywhere. Andantarasta paramanu chayantarastam. The Lord is within the universe and within the atom by his different energies. This is the real vision of the Supreme Lord for the intelligent man. Brahma, the first created being, became the most intelligent person by his tapasya, austerity, as he came to this realization. We must therefore take all knowledge from Brahma, who became perfect by his tapasya. Lord Brahma, who celebrated his Atma Yoni, having been born without a mother, was struck with wonder. Thus he took shelter of the lotus flower, and when he had been purified after going of severe austerities for many hundreds of years, he could see that the cause of all causes, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was spread throughout his own body and senses, just as aroma, although very subtle, is perceived in the earth. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna summarized everything by saying, Jnanam teham savijnanam idam vaksham yasheshita isgyatvaneha bunonyav katavyam avashishite. Now I'll explain to everything about phenomenal and nominal, knowing which there will be nothing further to be known. Bhumirapanlovayu kamano buddha evacha ahankara iti yame bina prakrita ashtada. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, these are my separated energies. Apreyam itastvanyam prakriti vidhi mepuram jiva bhuta mahabaho yedam daryate jagat. And besides this inferior energy, Arjuna, there's another energy, the living entities, who are struggling with the material world. What do he say? Apreyam itastvanyam prakriti vidhi mepuram jiva bhuta mahabaho yedam daryate jagat. Exploiting the resources of this material nature, Arjuna. So we're trying to control the material nature. Etam yoni bhutani sarvaniti padarya aham krishnasya prabhavas pralayas tata. All created beings have the source in these two natures. Of all this material and all this spiritual in this world, know for certain that I'm both the origin and the dissolution. Matak parataram nanyat kinchit asti dhananjaya Mayi saramidam proktam sutre mani gana iva. O conqueror of wealth, all things are resting on me, just like the pearls are strung in a thread. Matak parataram, there's no true superior to me, all things are resting on me, just like pearls are strung in a thread. If one is actually Krishna conscious, then one will see that even this body, which we identify ourselves as being, is actually just Krishna's energy. And according to Bhagavad Gita, although we're certainly conscious of it, but we're not the direct controllers of it. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. Bewildered by the three modes of material nature, the foolish living entity thinks himself to be the doer of the activities were actually carried out by the three modes of material nature. So though we're taking credit, either negatively or positively, for what our activities are, but actually either we're doing nothing, nor are we actually entangled. All we're doing is desiring, and Krishna is sensing our desire, just like one can understand the flavor of a flower by smelling it. And then Krishna arranges either the spiritual energy or the material energy accordingly. There's not really any difference between the spiritual and material energy. One energy, spiritual energy, enlightens us and enlivens us, and the other one covers us. But it's the same energy, just acting in two different capacities. Just like electricity can either in the radiator or in the stove, it can heat things. But in the refrigerator, it cools things. It's the same electricity, it's just acting in different ways. Similarly, Krishna's energy is one, it's all him, but it can act either put us in the spiritual energy, which means we become conscious of Krishna, or it can put us into the material energy, which means we become progressively more unconscious of Krishna. But the energy is the same, actually. It just appears to be sometimes material, and it appears to be spiritual according to how it's being presented to us, either covering us or uncovering us. In any case, Lord Brahma, in order to achieve this perfection, he had to sit in meditation for many, many hundreds of years. First of all, he was brave enough to dive into the Garbhodak Ocean. We're not even so sure if he knew how to swim at the time. No one had really taught him how to swim, so somehow or another he made it. I guess he stayed close to the stem, so he grabbed on. But he was brave enough to dive. If you were in complete darkness, and you were sitting on a lotus flower, which is trillions of, at least billions of miles high, would you just jump off and hope for the best? Unless you were really getting desperate. But I think the actual fact is he climbed down the lotus flower before he jumped into the water. He just didn't sit in the lotus flower. Hope for the best. Crash. Is there a doctor for Brahma? No, sorry. It's too early in the creation. It says he actually climbed down the lotus flower. He wasn't so foolish as to jump. And he couldn't find the end practically. He climbed down. I guess here it says he also jumped into the water eventually, but I guess he was right next to the water when he jumped into it. Looked around for a little while and then figured nothing's happening here. It's a lot more comfortable on top of the lotus flower. So he went back there and sat down. But he had nothing to do. But Krishna luckily engaged him by saying the two syllables from the Sparsha alphabet, ta and pa, and gave him something to think about. See, ta pa, how do you solve this problem? Pa ta, ta pa. What does this mean? So just by thinking about it, it was a great austerity just to think about something you have no idea what it means. And he became purified by that. His mind, first of all, there wasn't so much to think about, except for the fact that, well, I guess at this time there was no creation. He was sitting on the lotus flower, and then a storm came up on the Garbhodaka Ocean, and the wind almost blew him off the lotus flower. I mean, that's really a windy day. Luckily, he survived. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here to talk about it. And he sat there for actually thousands and thousands of years trying to figure out what is this tapa. And then Krishna revealed to him the spiritual world. And he spoke the Brahma Samhita in glorification of Krishna. In any case, if we accept that everything is the energy of Krishna, including our body, then we'll much be more likely to utilize our body in Krishna's service and try to utilize it to please Krishna, which is the only way we can get out of the bodily concept of life. Either we're going to work to please Krishna or we're going to be forced to work to please our body, mind, and senses. There's no other choice. Of course, we're accustomed to please this body, to serve this body, kamadinam katidad palitas dornitas dornita desha, that in so many different ways we've been serving our material senses, kamadinam katita katidad palitas dornidesha, and they never give up. They never stop demanding service for us, and we're very willingly serving our senses. Kamadinam katida palitas dornitesas te shamayi jata na karuna no pushanti. But they're never merciful. They never stop causing us problems. Nor do they ever stop demanding service from us. Nor am I ever embarrassed, nor do I ever consider that maybe this is not the right thing to do. But now I've gained some intelligence, this devotee is saying, Usrijitam yatapate lava buddhi. Now I'm giving this up. I've obtained some intelligence that this is not the best thing for me to do. It's not in my best interest. What is the last line? Kamari nam katida palitas dorni deshas te shama yijata nakaruna no prushanti utsrijitam yatapate lava buddhis. Tam ayanam sharanam tam uyukshakmadapeksha. So now I've given this up, I've gained some intelligence, and now I'm going to surrender to you, sharanam, and I'm surrendering at your lotus feet. In other words, that's our choice. Either we're going to surrender to Krishna, or we're going to surrender to the bodily concept of life, and spend time serving our body or someone else's body. But that's not liberating for the soul, for ourselves, nor to anyone else. We may solve the world's problems for one day, and the next day there'll be twice as many problems. As a matter of fact, unless there were problems, people would get overly enthusiastic about staying in the material world, and they'd create even more problems than there already are. But because there's problems, they were getting a little discouraged, so they're thinking a little bit more than they normally would have done. There are no problems, people wouldn't think at all. They just exploit the material nature unlimitedly until there was no material nature left to exploit. But because there's problems, people become a little considerate. So problems are actually helpful for the living entity's liberation. Without problems, there wouldn't be any liberation. We'd just stay here in the material world and waste our time trying to be happy with this material body and experiencing the same problems every day. Every part of the body, every single atom in the body has the potential for causing us unlimited misery and frustration and disappointment. And yet we love our body more than we love anything else, although all it's doing is giving us problems. But because we're naturally servants, and we're very good servants by nature, we're very loyal, faithful servants, we become loyal, faithful servants of this body. And therefore our unlimited service attitude is displayed in the material energy. But it's a useless service attitude. All it does is cause us and everyone else difficulty. But in the spiritual world, when the service attitude is properly manifested, then it causes everyone bliss, and including ourselves. So that's our choice, whether we want to be in bliss or waste our time here. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments?
How much chance do we have if Brahma was looking for thousands of years?
Thousands of years, because we're eternal, like Brahma. Maybe not thousands of years in this body, but we're going to live forever. So a little effort in the right direction will eventually bring us to the goal.
So, patience.
Whatever we're doing will help us advance. And the more we do it without attachment, the more we do it for Krishna, then the quicker we'll advance. But every single activity in devotional service is bringing us a little closer to the goal.
Thank you.
Anything else? Besides that, we'll probably go back to the spiritual world before Brahma will. He has another 150 trillion years to stay around here. I think we'll get back before then.
Hopefully.
Anyhow, if he gets back first, we'll greet us when we get there. Otherwise, we'll greet him. Welcome, Brahma. Anything else?
Hare Krishna. Much regarding Lord Brahma and his position. It is said that he took also part in the Chaitanya Lila as a Haridas Thakur, or partial.
Yeah.
Partial.
Yeah.
How that works? He died in the arms of Lord Chaitanya, chanting his name, and now he went back to his position. Of Lord Brahma. So expanded.
Yeah, sure.
Ah, sure.
More powerful the Indians can expand when the Krishna's desire, the soul can expand.
So what that means, that he will, that expansion went back to Godhead, or at the end?
He came back. Brahma is a pure devotee, because he got Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's association in the form of Haridasa Thakura. He offended Krishna by stealing his calves, and he lamented. Therefore he prayed that he'd come back and get the opportunity to get forgiveness. Because Krishna kind of like neglected him when he was Brahma. Brahma wasn't really so clear if he was pleased or not. So he came back, he came, got the opportunity to be born as Brahma Haridas, because he had made that offense against the coward boys and the calves and Krishna, therefore he had to take birth as a Muslim. But he was repentant, and therefore he took shelter of the holy names, and therefore he became a pure devotee.
And in the Brihadaranyaka is explained that he worships that Mahashirsha, Sahasra Shirsha, that Purusha in his planet. But when he was in the earth, he worshipped Lord Krishna, no, and Lord Chaitanya. How?
Well, because Lord Chaitanya has all the incarnations within it. You worship Lord Chaitanya, you worship all of them. Now, when he's Brahma on his planet, not necessarily his rasa. That's how Krishna manifests himself in Brahma Loka. Just like when Gop Kumar, who later on became what was his name in the spirit world?
Swarup.
Became Brahma, then he was also worshipping Sahasrashira Brahma. Wherever he went, he worshipped Vamanadeva in the heavenly mud. But ultimately, his rasa was with Krishna, so he wasn't satisfied wherever he was. He had to eventually go back to Goloka Vrindavan, but to actually stop his journey.
Right.
Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Prandraj, my Bhagavatam, Kidai.